We are joined right now by a former NFL cornerback who played 14 years in the league. He was taken 30th overall by Philadelphia in 1988 at Arizona State. Played 7 years with the Eagles. Went on to play for the Saints and Raiders as well. Six-time Pro Bowler. Three-time All-Pro. A member of the Eagles Hall of Fame and the Eagles 75th anniversary team. Currently a member of the Raiders broadcast team. I'm talking about Eric Allen. Eric, it is great to have you on, my man. How you doing?
It's been a long time, Jim, man. Pleasure to be on, and hope you and your family are well.
You too, EA. It's great to hear your voice. Great to have you on. Lots to cover, but why don't we start with the breaking news of the day. Tom Brady, of course, announced his retirement via social media, Eric, this morning. What is your reaction to that big story?
Well, first of all, it's such a outstanding, legendary player, and I guess that means I'm not going to get the call to play nickel anymore because he was my last bastion. You know, of course, played in the Tuck Rule game and just right from the start, if we can kind of go back, the week preparing for him was a little different, obviously. I mean, you're 14. He's a young guy, not supposed to really be there. Was supposed to be Bledsoe. But the one thing that really stuck out early on was his accuracy. And, of course, he didn't know, you know, everything that was going on defensively, but he just really had a great presence about him when we were studying film on him. And just he was always putting the ball in the right spot. So at the time, obviously, his receivers weren't the caliber of later years, but his slot guy was Troy Brown. And Troy was just a really good route runner, very intelligent player who worked inside out. And I noticed, like, if you had coverage on outside leverage, Brady would put it on the inside. If you were inside, he put it outside. And just his accuracy and his what I call his defensive mentality. And I think that separated him from his contemporaries and everyone else, just his will to win and that great leadership he had.
I think that's outstanding. When I say to somebody, hey, can I get your reaction, and you start with an anecdote and that kind of analysis, that is the absolute best. Eric Allen joining us. I appreciate it. So when I got my first start in TV, Eric, for whatever reason, we had a really good relationship with Philadelphia Eagles, and I had countless sit-down interviews with Eagle players, yourself included, and especially guys on the defense. And I was always struck by this. I'd never in my life, Eric, seen an NFL coach as beloved by his players or inspire the kind of loyalty that Buddy Ryan did. And to this day, I'm not even sure I have since. What was it that made Buddy so different, and why did guys love him so much?
Yeah, man, that's just a great point. And when you first get to the league, you have a great understanding of, you know, the pecking order. So I roll into Philadelphia, and the first guy I see is Reggie White. And Buddy made sure that his defensive players, because he came from that great 85 Bears team, they won with, of course, aging Walter Payton, but it was really all about that defense and the ability of that defense to get after the quarterback and all those great stars defensively on that football team. And he wanted to recreate that in Philly. He thought that Coach Dicka gave so much praise to the offense that it was important for players, media, to understand that defense wins championships, and you have to treasure and treat your defense like they are, you know, stars of the team. So when we would get interviewed, it would be Reggie White, it would be Jerome Brown, later on Seth Joyner, myself, and again, you know, you had guys like Wes Hopkins and dearly departed Andre Waters. So that defense was full of characters. He allowed us to be ourselves, and sometimes what's funny is defensively we would sit in the front of the plane. And you usually see the offensive guy sitting in front of the plane when you're going on trips. But yeah, Buddy would have us in the front of the plane. All meetings were designed around defense, opposed to offense. And at halftime, you know, we would make so many adjustments at halftime to get ready for whether it be Joe Montana and the 49ers or Jim Kelly and the Bills. Offensively, it was like, okay, get the ball to Randall on third down. We'll be okay. So we love Buddy. And we tried to give our everything to Buddy, and just his pride, all the coaches he had defensively, he challenged them. They were all great coordinators going forward. So, yes, Buddy had a great deal of love for the defensive side of the ball.
Former NFL great Eric Allen is joining us. Eric, you mentioned a couple of guys that I actually was going to get to because, again, I sat with these guys or some of these guys. I mean, of course, I was going to mention Reggie White first because when you think about those great defenses, Reggie comes to mind. Yeah. But I was going to say, Eric, anybody who ever knew or played with speaks of Jerome Brown with incredible reverence. I think there are people listening that don't know about him, don't remember, maybe never knew. What was he like as a player and a teammate? What made him so special?
First of all, I think everyone who loves football, particularly college football, has an understanding of Miami and what they used to be. Well, Jerome Brown was the number one guy who started all that. Coming off the plane in a national championship with fatigues on, off the airplane, and just the immense love that his teammates at Miami had. So he comes up to Philadelphia, and he's not a muscular guy. You know, you're not seeing Jerome Brown and thinking, you know, Aaron Donald. But his explosiveness, his intelligence, his high IQ, and just the ability to be able to dominate guard, center, tackle. And we're playing 46. So when we play the 46 or the Eagle defense, every offensive lineman is basically covered. So we have our tackles covering their center and our ends covering their tackles and guards, linebackers covering tight ends. So at times, Jerome Brown is one-on-one block. He would destroy the guards. So powerful, so quick. And then off the football field, he was really the glue that held us together, making sure we had camaraderie nights. So Thursday nights, we would all go to his crib and hang out and have a good time. Of course, you know, Reggie was Bible study, you know, on Wednesday nights. They were so different, but so similar in how they treasured loyalty, teammates, all those things. So Jerome Brown, what a tragedy in the summer going into our 1991 season, passed away in a car accident. But he was loved. We would go down to his camps in Florida. Everyone loved him. The sheriff would come out. All the teachers would come out. And he's a beloved figure wherever he went, and just really, really miss Jerome Brown. But he's a split between like Warren Sapp. I think Warren probably was a little bigger than Jerome, but that's the kind of player that Jerome Brown was.
And universally beloved. Everybody loved him. Eric Allen joining us. So, Eric, like, we're just kind of going memory lane, but those teams were so fascinating. I'm curious. You mentioned Seth Joyner. Like, how does he fit in? Because I remember the first time I met Seth, and that dude was muscular, and that dude was intimidating. And there was that story about how he used to locker near the shower so that even as a teammate, if you didn't do your job or you didn't do what you're supposed to do, nobody wanted to pass by that guy. Like, how fierce and intimidating. Am I wrong? How fierce and intimidating was Seth?
Oh, first of all, Jim, the locker room is not nearly like it is now in Philadelphia.
No way.
We were in the vet. And if you talk to any player who's played in the vet, they will have tremendous stories about the turf being second base on the turf, all these gaps. And then underneath the vet, there are these big rats, right? So you have to come walk in and out of the locker room to avoid the rats. And Seth was right at the entrance of the shower along with all the rats. So you had to have a great practice. It doesn't matter who you were. If you're a Randall Cunningham, if you were Keith Byers, Keith Jackson, myself, Reggie, he's going to put you on blast if you're not playing well. And again, he came from Texas. I think he went to UTEP. And no one comes from UTEP and becomes a star in the National Football League. But this, between Buddy Ryan, that great defense, and him taking over, being a very versatile player, he became one of the best linebackers in the National Football League. Of course, he could tackle. Of course, he could sack. But his coverage ability was just tremendous. He reminded me of a Fred Warner type of football player. Very, again, very high IQ. And we all had to be high IQ players playing with Philadelphia because we ran this system called Check With Me. So we would have to look at the offense in order for us to get in our defense. So if the offense was in some kind of trips formation where they ran a lot of deep routes out of that, we'd have a defense for that. And if they shifted, we didn't look to the sideline. We made the adjustments on the field ourselves. So we all had to be tuned in, keyed in. And Seth, of course, expected excellence, and we had to give that excellence. And that 91 season was just finishing number one across the board, and Seth was a huge component to all that because he was right in the middle of the field along with Byron Evans.
This stuff is so great. Eric Allen joining us. Eric, speaking of coverage, like you are one of the best corners I've ever seen. You are one of the smoothest corners I've ever seen. Given your dominance in the secondary, how much do you appreciate what my dude Darius Slay is doing along with James Bradberry? What a godsend. Like, yeah. Imagine this guy becoming available the way he did. What do you think of what these guys are doing with the Eagles this year in the defensive backfield?
Yeah, man, I love those two guys. They're very confident about what they're doing. They have two different kind of styles. I think Bradberry does more. He's more of a, what we call a press release. So he's going to let the receiver release, and he's going to press him and try and stay on top, where Slay is after the ball. He's one of those guys who, if you make a mistake, it's a tip or overthrow, he's going to be there. He really has a great understanding of route recognition, route responsibility. That's kind of like in my field. So before the ball even snaps, you're breaking down what the receiver is trying to do based on the formation. And I think Slay does one heck of a job in doing that and in processing information very quickly and making plays on the ball. I just love those two. And along with that outstanding pass rush, they're set up to have some great runs here in the next couple of years and hopefully against the Chiefs.
So before you go, Eric, really quickly, what about, because you cover the Raiders, you spend a lot of time in the AFC West, and you know the Chiefs really well. What do you do to try to limit the effectiveness of Travis Kelce? In terms of scheme, what do you think the Eagles should do to try to slow him down? What can you do?
Oh, man, I'm not sure if you can really do anything.
Right.
I just reached out to Coach Reed a couple of days ago to, you know, congratulate him and make it the Super Bowl. And I had a conversation with him years ago about Patrick Mahomes. He just, again, said very high IQ, chip on his shoulder. I think all great players have to have that chip on your shoulder. And then Kelce is a similar type of situation. They find so many ways to get him the football. And I expect he's going to do a lot of what he does against our guy, Max Crosby. Chip, allow the linebackers to get that depth, and then Kelce will turn around. It'll almost be like a tight end screen, give him the ball quickly, and he's really great after the catch. He's not fast. He's not too explosive, but both him and Mahomes run at their own pace, and they're very slippery. They have a great side-to-side motion about him. Before you know it, Kelce has 7 or 8 catches for 80-something yards. And then in the red zone, he's practically unstoppable, those two together. So I hope that the Eagles have enough in gear, in plan, to be able to stop these two, particularly in the red zone.
So, Eric, really quickly, one last thought, and I so appreciate getting caught up with you. This is so much fun because you spend also so much time with the Raiders. I'm kind of curious, what happened in your mind with Derek Carr this year? Like, I really thought that Josh McDaniels would be so great for him. Ultimately, why do you think that Derek struggled this year and that things did not end up the way they should have or could have this year for him?
Yeah, big disappointment, Jim. We expected so much from this group with all of the outstanding offensive players and, of course, Josh coming over from New England. I think the first thing is really the play calling, the offensive system and set. This was maybe Derek's 10th time changing offenses. They wanted to have more of a set receiver outside, maybe like a Randy Moss. But, again, his best friend, D.A., he doesn't do that. He's an inside guy. So there was a lot of mismatching when it comes down to play selection, players. And, again, you look at our tight end who's outstanding in Waller. He didn't play for the whole season, basically, until the last part of the season. Hunter Renfrow, another 1,000-yard type of receiver, banged up all year long. Josh had an incredible year in Jacobs, but it was never really a good marriage between D.C., Derek Carr, and the offensive system. And all year long, without all of those talented players playing, plus a banged-up offensive line, you needed someone with a skill set that was more a mobile-style quarterback who can get outside the pocket because of the line up and down all year long because of those outstanding offensive players not being available every time. So Derek Carr, a pocket passer who the previous year led this football team to critical wins, got us to the playoffs, it just wasn't a system fit for this football team. Hopefully D.C. finds a team that has a system fit because he's an incredible leader, has great skill set for a team that's really going to focus on a drop-back system and have an outstanding line to protect him. It just wasn't the case for our football team last year. And then defensively, Jim, man, we were bad. We were bad defensively, man. We just couldn't be a consistent team that got after the quarterback who stopped big plays.
He played 14 years in the league. He is a six-time Pro Bowler, a three-time All-Pro, a member of the Eagles Hall of Fame, a member of the Eagles 75th anniversary team, and Eric Allen just made this show so much better. EA, it is so good to get caught up with you, dude. I appreciate you so much. That was so great. Eric, thanks so much for doing that.
Hey, Jim, it's always great, man. I'm always listening to you, man. You're one of San Diego's own, man. So take care,
you
man.
You are, too, dude.
Hope to see you at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll see you at the Super Bowl. You, too, Eric. He is not only one of San Diego's own. If San Diego is America's finest city, he is one of San Diego's finest citizens. Such class act. Man, he is dialed in, too, right? That was fun.